pretty simple question for you. Do you think Terry McLaurin will be on any type of a pitch count in week one against the Giants on Sunday? The reason for this question, you can answer now, yes or no, our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, 106.7, the fan Twitter account, is based on comments that he made to reporters this afternoon. This was about 40 minutes ago. John Keim of ESPN tweeted, Terry McLaurin, when asked if he felt he'd have to be on a snap count Sunday. Now, what you will not hear in this answer is the word no, okay? He did not say, be very, very easy to do that if he's not going to be on a snap count. Hey, do you think you're going to be on a snap count on Sunday? You could just say, no, I'm full go. No, I'm going to play every snap. No, I'm going to do what I normally do. Here's what he actually said. I feel I'm in great shape right now. I'm going to be communicative throughout this weekend and how I'm feeling Sunday. But as of right now, I feel really good to go, end quote. That is not no. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be on a 15-snap or 20-snap count. But I have said all along, I know a lot of people feel like he's just going to come back, be in great shape. Of course, he's in good shape. He could run on a treadmill for an hour, I'm sure. He could sprint for 30 minutes without stop, and he could run a marathon. Different than football shape.
Mm-hmm.
I have felt like he is absolutely going to be on some type of pitch count, especially because they have a short week and they play again on Thursday. So you can't run him out there and risk injury with 65 snaps, ideally, if they can get enough first downs and move the chains enough against the Giants, and then another 59, 65 snaps against the Packers. 130 snaps over a five-game span is completely unrealistic for a guy who didn't have a training camp or a preseason in any way. Now, you could say, okay, well, that's a lot of snaps. It might be 49 and 57. Still, if you want to add it up to about 100, let's say, which it's going to be more than that, that's not an ideal situation for a guy who just hasn't been on the grass or played any football, other than the last 12 days and very scaled back practices as they ramp up now for the start of the season. But Danny, he could have said, it would have ended this thing, and I'm ready to go. I'm full go. They don't have to worry about me. I'm going to play. It's like the hold out, the hold in never happened. I did not hear that in that answer.
Right, and I think that's because that's not what the answer is. Like, if he was 100%, now, again, I always hate this. We learned this distinction with Robert Griffin so many years ago, the difference between cleared and 100% and, you know, all those different things there in that scale.
He is healthy,
yeah,
for sure.
He's 100% healthy, and that's not what this is about. This is about it would be foolish, quite frankly, to go, okay, treat him just like he'd been here the whole time. Because you're asking for a pulled muscle. You're asking for a strain. You're asking for something as a guy that's going to go compete at the highest level we've got, whether it's running a route, whether it's a block, whether it's, you know, doing everything that you have to do on a football play to make it successful. There's a reason that, as you said, guys that go jogging for extended periods of time don't just trot out to the NFL. It's a completely different kind of shape that you can't compared to, because you're not being hit. You're not doing all the different parts of recovery. You need time. People much smarter than me who have done this. Kadri Ismail was on with the Junks. Dan Orlovsky obviously didn't play receiver in the NFL, but he observed, he said, yeah, it's going to take a while. He's not going to be himself for a while, and it'd be stupid to expect him to, because you're now risking the season where you say, okay, go out full bore, you pull something, and now you don't have Terry McLaurin himself, not just for 1 week, but for five or six, and now it becomes kind of the story of the year. There's no reason to do it other than you'd love to have him out there at full speed, but you also have to be patient and judicious.
I also don't think teams and coaches think this way, but while the Giants game is added value, more important, worth two, so to speak, because it's a divisional foe, the week two matchup on Thursday night against the Packers is probably actually a more important matchup on paper going into the season with another fringe playoff wildcard caliber team. Now, again, teams don't view it that way. But I would bet, and a computer would tell you at a very, very high rate, that the result against the Packers on Thursday Night Football a week from tomorrow is actually going to matter way more to them than the result against the New York Giants in the opener, because of Green Bay being probably really good and the Giants probably not being that good. And I say that only to then say, I need Terry McLaurin available to go make a big catch for me on third down and to score a touchdown and to help put me over the top against a better opponent. I don't know if I can beat the Giants without Terry McLaurin, but I like my chances to be in that game at the end. With the Packers, who are theoretically better, I think I'm going to need all hands on deck. I'm going to need my horses. And so I can't have him go out there and give me everything he's got against the Giants and then come Thursday now I've got to be extra careful and he can only play 17 to 20 snaps or something. I need to work back from how do I get a really good McLaurin against Green Bay on the road performance? Because if I could get to 2-0 through 10 days with two conference wins, including one in the division.
Huge deposit there.
I'm farting through silk. Like that is gold.
So you start to think about, and actually I know that's antithetical or tough for old school folks to hear that a division game might matter less, but think about the NFC and how crowded it is. Teams that they're going to be, again, just foreseeing and looking towards regular levels of prognostication, they're going to be competing directly with Green Bay, with Atlanta. They play; these are two of the teams they play in the first 4 weeks of the year. Chicago, potentially, in that really tough division. But the Seahawks, the Lions, the Vikings, that's before you get to any of these divisional games. So, yeah, the easiest path, just win your division. That's easier said than done, of course, when Philadelphia's really good, the defending champs, one of the best rosters in the sport, etc. The NFC's pretty crowded. Teams that they are, again, directly going to be competing with, your NFC record matters a lot. The head-to-head record's going to matter an awful lot. And again, Seattle may not be as good as they are, but they're playing in a potentially weaker division. So if Seattle does what they did last year, what they seem to do every year, win 9 or 10 games, how much more important is that Seattle game where you end up playing them? So there's actually some validity to what you're talking about.